Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our lessons from 2017 with our national conference speakers. And joining me today is the linebackers coach, defensive assistant at Wagner College, Vinny DiGaetano. Vinny, it's always great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you definitely for having me again, Keith.
Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit about some of the takeaways from 2017 for you. I know that starts for you. You always really like to think about the game in terms of tackling. So tell us how you kind of really got, deeper in the way you guys were dealing with tackling this year.
One of the things we did, I think, that was a little bit more unique was we, in the second season, after a full spring and then a full season, did a lot of postseason evaluation, really looked at kind of like areas that we needed to emphasize with our players, not only as a team, but also as individuals and by positions. I think we spent a lot more time working with our strength staff in the off season, working with our trainers. You know, safety is obviously always going to be the emphasis, but it was a little bit more about body position, a little bit more about power positions that we wanted to get our players into. And I thought that when we got into the season, it was definitely saw a lot more productivity. But in the course of the season, I think we reevaluated it much differently, kind of really focused a little bit more on connection and acceleration. It was really just those little points of emphasis were things that we just didn't want to get stagnant with what we were doing. You know, basically evaluating our players to be a little bit more fluent in what we do. And really, I think a lot of it was too, like, just recreating some terminology for them, some things that were, like, comfortable for them, some things that they actually created themselves that they had ownership with. I think we saw a lot more of the emphasis not only on that, but I thought we saw a lot more results, too.
And Coach, obviously part of that is that self-evaluation process. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I mean, I think one of the dangerous things that you can get to in coaching, is, especially in season, is you get really heavy-handed, I think, on like watching the opponent. And when you watch the opponent a lot, I think you try to, especially during the course of the season and at this level, I think you end up seeing pretty much the entire season of an opponent, especially once you get into like conference play. And sometimes can be a dangerous path because week by week, I think, especially when we're breaking down offenses, they change. As they try to change, as they try to, you know, manifest themselves into something a little bit more specific or unique, it's important for us that we kind of spend a little bit more time looking at what we do rather than what everybody else does. I think that was helpful to us just because of the pure simple fact that we weren't trying to defend just everything out there. And a little bit more about thinking about minimizing the amount of techniques instead of using a million different techniques to get things done. It was really zoning in on really our core techniques and our core fundamentals. I think that totally was something that we committed to instead of spending those, you know, late Monday nights kind of drawing things up and changing things up week by week, just committing to what we do and trying to get that done well. We're big with a big key for us.
And I know you're really big on kind of evaluating where the errors are coming and the things you need to work on and very conscientious about how you carry that into the next practice week. Talk to us a little bit about that.
It's interesting because with us, I think one of the things that through the last couple of years just gotten to is like, right, you know, when you write your individual schedule and you write your practice schedule, it's important. I think it's important to always be kind of like have some flexibility and show some progress so it doesn't, again, like become stagnant like it is. So utilizing like data from tackling, utilizing our evaluation of the week, it was important to like translate that over to like practice planning too. So, you know, for instance, like you get to a point where, so you don't just break down every single formation with all the motions, with all the movements, with all the everything like that. You try to think to yourself, like, where is this like formation trying to get to? Where is this offense trying to get to? And then if you can minimize that sample size, it was helpful for us when we kind of like were playing with our players and preparing our players for the course of the week to say, like, we anticipate that this is going to happen and not just run a million plays off of like what they've run, but anticipate like, hey, based on what we run, we're probably going to see an offense do this, or we're going to see an offense try to do this, or try to slip a block and try to cut you off at this angle, prepare you to kind of take on that block and get off certain blocks in a certain way, and especially just, you know, really kind of get, really zone in on my coverage, I think, more than anything else, and just decide what we're going to play and, like, kind of migrate to that instead of just trying to match up against everything.
Right, and for you, it's about the preparation for your players, and that was one of the takeaways you had from the season is, you know, to really prepare those guys and then be able to make adjustments to it as needed in the game.
Yeah, and that was the in-game stuff was key too, because and one of the things I think that was great that we've done over the last couple of years is like we built into practice a little bit some of those half times, some of those check-ins. You know, during the course of a practice time, you know, you only get that couple hours or that 2 hours of practice time. And at some point in time to break practice up and to be able to come to the sideline and then make those adjustments and then kick off the second half of practice. And we built that into something because we want our guys to be able to, during the course of practice, say, hey, you're seeing a bunch of different looks that you haven't seen before. In the second half of practice, you want to do that. And we built that into the everyday. So that wasn't something where when they came to the locker room, they weren't used to, they weren't expecting. So by doing that and by working together as coaches and everybody really understanding what they're doing, you're able to identify what you're getting relatively quickly. You know, offenses are only going to kind of do a couple things in the course of once they've decided what they want to get to, how they want to get to a four surface side or how they want to get to a four strong formation. That's what they've done. I mean, that's what they've prepared for the week. They do have other stuff up their sleeve that they can get to, and that comes with the research. But ultimately, you only get so many snaps during the course of a game. You only get so much situational stuff, and it's more along the line of creating opportunities for our players to be prepared in those opportunities rather than just this wide sample size, which was just defend everything.
Yeah, I think it's important you bring that to light. And I've talked with Rob Everett, the defensive coordinator at Bridgewater College, about that idea, and they do that as well. They build into their practice in an adjustment period. Go out on the field, run some plays, and then make an adjustment on a sideline, practice that situation, really being tuned into what your coach is saying, and then go out there and execute it on the field. That's an important part of the game. That's an important skill for coaches to be able to communicate clearly, and obviously for players to listen and go out and make some changes. So what key things in looking at that and doing some of those things in practice do you suggest for coaches who want to start implementing that?
You know, and this is probably one of the most understated things that I kind of see, and I think in the three or four different places that I've kind of been with this, like immediately right away is like sideline organization. Like, it's amazing sometimes when you look at, we just expect our players to be able to sit on the sideline in a certain area. And it's just something as simple as that, where the D-line's going to sit a certain place, and the outside linebackers or inside linebackers, safeties, corners, everybody's going to sit in a certain spot. I've gone to places, and we've had opponents, and I've actually done this in the past too, where we actually label the bench with the position. And the person who's on the field or the starter actually knows to sit there, and then the other guys know to, like, stand behind that, and then when they should be listening. And I think one of the things we emphasize more than anything else is just because you're not the person on the field, you may be the person on the field at that time. Everybody's one play away from being that guy that's on the field. You want to hear every single adjustment and be in a place where you can hear it. Just because you're not on there shouldn't be. So sometimes something as simple as that is always very, very key. I think the other period of that too, which I think is goes understated, is how the flow of that period is going to go, where it's you're there and we should get feedback. First of all, coaches should be able to have an opportunity to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, while players get however they get it and self-organized really quick. And then player feedback should be part of that too. Direct player feedback. And then players being able to speak the same language and answer some questions like, hey, we're getting cut off an A-gap on that on the front side of the play. Like, what are you seeing over there? Oh, they're slipping me over here. Like, you know, and they're trying to get to there. Okay, so, and they're cutting, who are they cutting off? Well, they're cutting this backer off on the run-through on that side. Okay, well, that shouldn't happen because A, B, and C. Or if that's doing that, then we have to do this. But coach-directed is one thing, you know, but we can't always be coach-directed. There's got to be that mutual ownership. So being able to establish with players to say, like, hey, here's what I'm seeing. And if you get together with everybody, then you can get to the formula. You know, everything happens so fast. And if that built into the routine, that changes a lot of the operation time when you're into the actual game. You know, who's on the headset with the coach? Who's speaking to who? Who's got special teams? Because, you know, as defensive players, as we know, most of our players are on special teams anyway. So you're going to be pretty limited before that third down call-up is called and the punt team's on their way and half the guys are leaving the bench. So it's this point of emphasis and this sense of urgency and those two big things about that sideline organization and then that communication and like how the communication, the flow of communication works. Because if there's too much communication and it's that it's not in some kind of rhythm, then nothing gets communicated. And I've been part of that too. So I think those are probably the two biggest things that I would emphasize. They seem simple, but what happens is they sometimes go understated and we take them for granted.
Yeah, definitely. And Coach, that's some great insight and detail onto those things. And I think, you know, this game has become one of adjustments, especially at, you know, you look at the high school level and guys being able to use replay on the sideline, which is quickly coming, you know, to the college level. At one point they had approved it and then they pulled it back. You know, having the skill to adjust and make those adjustments, not at halftime, but during the game, I think are really big right now in being able to stay ahead of your opponent. So it does require that practice, not just by the players, but the coaches too. And one of the things you mentioned is in there is everybody taking ownership, and that starts with, you know, your third takeaway from the season, which was you got to do your 111th.
Yeah, and I think that was key in our grading because, you know, a lot of coaches grade, and that's awesome because you want to be evaluated. You know, sometimes we get evaluated and we get a bad evaluation on something. You know, obviously the ultimate evaluator is the score, but there's a game within the game for each to be evaluated. One of the things that I think we did, which was pretty unique this year, was a lot of coaches do something where they plus-minus players. They give them ones or twos, however they do it, you know. But one of the things that we did was we equated it on every single play. And instead of just saying it's a plus-minus and here's your how many pluses you got in isolation, we would look at an individual play and say, how many pluses did we get on that play from players? Right. So if, you know, we looked at the plays where we would have, and obviously the most you can get on any play is 11. So, I mean, you can't get more than that. So if there's just plus minus. So we'd look, each week we got to a place where it was healthy for our players to see two or three plays where we got 9 or above pluses, two or three plays where we got 6 or above, you know, 6 to 8 pluses, and two or three plays where we got like under 5 pluses on a play and see, what happened where a majority of the players did the right thing, where a minority of the players did the right thing, or when like we were kind of like average on that play, and look at the actual result. And it was interesting to note, if you do your job, you never know if it's your job to make that play on that time, but you always want to be a plus on that play. You always want to fit it correctly. You know, you don't want to have bad body language and have different something that was kind of is going to lead to a negative. Obviously, showed them like guys closer to the football are going to have probably less pluses than guys further from the football. That's just human nature. They're going to be involved in more plays. But the reality is, like when we saw the guys with 11 pluses on a play, everybody fit the play right, everybody ran to the ball, it was a big difference than when we saw guys when we had with 5 pluses on the play. So that was a really point of emphasis with us on our 111th, a grading towards the course of the season, because it was something where it's like you don't know when your time is, so there's no plays off. You know, I mean, a lot of people preach that stuff, but we were able to physically kind of show them evidence of that. I thought that was a huge takeaway for them about being not only being accountable, but just, you know, understanding what their role was on a play.
Absolutely. Coach, I'm always impressed by some of the information you share with me. You know, obviously you have not cleared me to share that with coaches out there yet, but you think about this game really at another level. I've been very impressed with your level of detail, and I'm excited about what you're going to present to us at the National Conference January 26th through the 28th in Orlando. Tell us a little bit about your topic and give us an overview.
You know, taking the opportunity to come in Orlando, and obviously I'm more than thankful for just that opportunity to be there amongst just, I mean, the wide array of coaches from around the country that are not only state champion level coaches, but are just great, great motivators, great people, and just motivate young men across the country to play the game, and women across the game to play. I just, coming up with a topic, I thought that was something that I think everybody can take away with. It's kind of difficult in that respect. And obviously I geared a lot of what we do is towards tackling. I'm going to do something around a year round tackling program because I wanted something where somebody can not just see a group of drills or see a lot of analysis. One of the keys that we got into a point of emphasis with our tackling was it was a year round program. It was a year round cycle that we went through every year. And obviously, you look at the preseason implementation of the program, you look at our tackling program on a whole and our drill work and how we evaluate it and why we do what we do is only really one phase of it. Kind of implementing what we do in the off season about how we reevaluate our program to see what works and what doesn't. But not only that, but then in preparation for our winter workouts, working with our strength staff, because what we do is we find that there's body positions that players have to get into, and we've gotten so much closer into this year through work, you know, with Andy, with Richie Gray, with all sorts of other people that we've gotten involved with, to really focus on the individual that's doing the tackling, not just the position, not just the hole. So one of the things we've done is, as we look at the individual, you know, relate that information to our strength staff, relate that information to our training staff, and look at points of emphasis that they want to be able to work on physically. So that's one phase of what we do in that, and then ultimately how we actually introduce our tackling system in the spring football season, and what we go through there as we spend a little bit more time on drill work, and then in through the summer, and then in through obviously the season, and then we just keep on repeating it over and over again. So one of the great things I think about it is, like, tackling to me is like snowflakes, like no two are alike kind of thing, because not every individual is alike, and every individual does it in a different way, and angles are a different way too. So we've got a little bit more into this, which we'll touch on with how our drills are designed based on what we run. So we find if we're in certain coverages, if we're playing quarters, our drill work should be different than what it is if we're playing cover three, if we're playing man, or if we're pressuring. So we've kind of looked at that based on our week. It's not only just on an opponent, what they do, if they're spread or if there's some kind of pro-style offense that's going to try to run it downhill, but it's a little bit more of what we run too, and we find that what we give and what we get are two totally different things. So that's where we're going to be at a little bit.
Well, Coach, as always, it's great to talk ball with you. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Orlando and talking a little bit more there. But I highly encourage coaches to get out to our national conference. Again, go to the website, usafootball.com, go to events, and you can book that there. Again, National Conference, Orlando, January 26th through 28th, and just a great lineup of speakers. Our high school group has together accumulated 95 state championships over the course of their career. Nine of those guys won state championships in 2017. So great to have you as part of that group, Vinny. And as always, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Coach. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.